Welcome to the historic San Antonio walking tour guide by Tabby Cat Travels. Throughout this guide, there will be indications to pause the audio so that you can transition from one location to another. Each pause will indicate where you should restart the audio. Remember, if you enjoy this guide, share feedback on Facebook, Instagram, or email tabbycattravels@gmail.com. Starting point, near San Fernando Cathedral, Main Plaza. Introduction. The Palimpsest City. Welcome to San Antonio. Look around you. You aren't just standing in a city. You're standing on nearly three centuries of Texas history, all layered on top of itself. Historians call this a palimpsest city, a place where you can see the faint traces of every era that came before, all at once. Our walk covers only about a mile, but we're going to step through time, from rigid 18th century Spanish colonial power to a vibrant Mexican marketplace, and finally, into a Gilded Age German millionaire's row. By the time we're done, you'll understand why this small core became the heart of Texas. The city's original layout reflects the Spanish laws of the Indies, mandating that the centers of military, religious, and civic authority be established in close proximity. That's why our first three stops, the cathedral, the palace, and the plaza, are all jammed right here together. Remember to stay hydrated. Our first stop is right here, San Fernando Cathedral. Take a deep breath and look up at the cathedral. This is the oldest, continuously operating religious community in the entire state of Texas. Spanish settlers, who arrived here from the Canary Islands in 1731, placed this church precisely in the center of the main plaza, exactly as their laws required. This spot was, and still is, San Antonio's spiritual, geographical, and narrative center. Pause here if you need time to enter the building. Our audio tour will continue inside the church. As we head inside, look immediately to your left in this front vestibule. You will see the marble sarcophagus said to hold the remains of the Alamo defenders. Historians strongly debate the certainty of the remains, given General Santa Anna ordered the bodies burned. But regardless of historical fact, this monument powerfully links the Spanish colonial past, the site of a siege, to the heroic era of the Texas Republic. It's a tangible tribute that anchors the city's story. Now, let's examine the architecture. Notice how the building tells a story of transformation. The area right here near the entrance is the original 18th century colonial church, defined by thick, protective walls. It was the only official church for everyone in San Antonio for almost a century, back when Spain and then Mexico only recognized the Catholic Church. Look ahead of you toward the altar. You see that big, elaborate, Gothic-style addition? That was built in the mid-1800s. This addition is a physical reflection of the city changing hands after the Texas Revolution. New American and European settlers arrived, bringing with them a new architectural style that they overlaid upon the simple Spanish foundation, creating the hybrid structure you see today. Pause here while you walk to the next stop, Spanish Governor's Palace. Our audio tour will start again outside the palace. Welcome to the Spanish Governor's Palace. That name is a bit of a misnomer, though. While it is a national historic landmark, its primary and original function was the Comandancia, the fortified military garrison's headquarters. It was the residence and office for the captains of the Presidio military base. This is the very last visual remnant of that military fort, Presidio San Antonio de Béjar. Let's appreciate the design. It's the only surviving example of Spanish colonial residential architecture in Texas. Look at the walls 3 feet thick. They provided incredible temperature moderation, keeping the interior cool year-round, along with the 14-foot ceilings. These builders were masters of survival and climate adaptation. Notice the keystone over the main entrance. It's inscribed with Anno 1749 Esse Acabo, which means finished in the year 1749, and it displays the royal coat of arms of the Habsburg dynasty. This was an official, powerful symbol of the Spanish Empire. But history isn't always kind. After the early 1800s, this symbol of global imperial power fell into massive decline. It suffered severe flood damage and became a slum, housing a saloon, a boarding house, a pawn shop, and a used clothing store. It's a dramatic example of how quickly political and economic fortunes shifted after Mexican and Texan independence. Fortunately, the city purchased it in 1929 and initiated a crucial restoration in the 1930s. Its survival is a huge win for San Antonio, giving us a physical link to our military roots. Pause here while you walk to the next stop, Historic Market Square. Welcome to Historic Market Square, or as locals call it, El Mercado. We just left the rigid centers of religious and military authority. Now we're in the heart of resilient, everyday commercial life. The land we are standing on was actually gifted by the King of Spain in 1730 for the original settlers, use, and entertainment. This has been a lively marketplace almost as long as the cathedral has stood. Today, this is recognized as the largest Mexican marketplace in the United States, bustling with over 100 local businesses, art, and food. It's a vivid display of Southwestern and Mexican cultural influence. But the most delicious history here is tied to the Chili Queens. In the 19th century, this plaza was famous for the open-air food stands run by these female entrepreneurs. They took a home-cooked Tejano dish, chili con carne, and introduced it to everyone, vaqueros, politicians, and travelers. These women are the direct forerunners of the entire nationwide Tex-Mex food industry. They paved the way for things like canned chili, chili powder production, and even local successes like paste picante sauce and Fritos. It's a powerful testament to the economic role of Mexican-American culture here. By the way, chili con carne became the official state dish of Texas in 1977. This market is still sustained by generations of families who have run stalls here since the farmers market days. Maintaining this authenticity against commercial pressure is a struggle, and it's why supporting these multi-generational small businesses is so important. Pause here while you shop if you choose, otherwise walk to the next stop, La Valida Historic Arts Village. We've arrived at La Valida, or Little Village. This is not just a historic area. This is geographically San Antonio's first neighborhood. It started as a rudimentary settlement of simple huts for the soldiers and their families stationed at the Presidio. Life here was tough. The river has always shaped this area. In 1819, a catastrophic flood washed away most of the original temporary structures. This disaster forced the community to adapt, and they rebuilt with much more enduring materials like stone, brick, and adobe, marking the transition to permanent structures. La Valida also played a strategic role in the Texas Revolution. Right before the Battle of the Alamo, this location was used for Mexican General Santa Anna's cannon line during the siege. There's also a legend that Mexican General Martin Perfecto de Cos issued his formal surrender to Texian forces right here in the Cos House following the 1835 siege. Despite its history, La Valida declined into a slum in the early 1900s. Its rescue was a pivotal moment for the city's heritage tourism. In 1939, civic leaders stepped in to preserve it, which conveniently coincided with the early development of the San Antonio River Walk. This transformation into a cultural arts hub set a crucial precedent. It showed San Antonio would actively leverage its Spanish heritage for its civic identity and economic benefit. Today, La Valida is officially on the U.S. National Register of Historic Places and is a thriving center for local boutiques and artisan galleries. I suggest you spend some time browsing the galleries. Pause here if you choose to browse the galleries, otherwise walk to the next stop, Spanish King William Historic District. Our audio tour will start again outside the Alexander and Blanche Josk House at 241 King William Street and continue down the street to the Steve's Homestead at the corner of King William and Johnson Street. Stop 5. We are now standing in the King William Historic District, and the character of the city has shifted dramatically. This was once farmland for the Mission San Antonio de Valero. In the decades following the Civil War, it was surveyed and developed, becoming San Antonio's first suburb and, notably, the very first historical district established in Texas. This neighborhood was settled predominantly by the city's successful German immigrants, the business elite, families like the Steves and Josk. The concentration of German capital led to the nickname Sauerkraut Bend. It was initially named for King Wilhelm I of Prussia, reflecting that strong German identity. However, During World War I, anti-German sentiment was so intense that they were forced to temporarily rename the district to Pershing Avenue. After the war, the name was settled on the anglicized King William. It's a small detail, but it shows how political winds can force cultural assimilation, even upon the city's wealthiest class. This was the most elegant and prestigious residential area in San Antonio until the early 1900s, built to reflect the financial success of these German Texan merchants. Just look down the street. It's a veritable parade of ornate Greek Revival, Italianate, Victorian, and Second Empire styles, mostly constructed of local limestone. This area represents the dominance of European immigrants and the rise of a purely capitalist city, deliberately distancing itself socially and architecturally from the Spanish-Mexican heritage of the downtown plazas. If you haven't already, continue down the street to the Steve's Homestead. Let's focus on one house that tells the whole story, the Steve's Homestead. This dramatic Second Empire mansion was built for lumber merchant Edward Steve Sr. in 1876. It has all the signature elements, like the concave mansard roof with iron cresting. And get this, the Steve's home was one of the first in all of San Antonio to be wired for electricity. Behind the main house is the River House, which once contained one of San Antonio's earliest natatoriums, an indoor swimming pool, fed by an artesian well. It's a perfect glimpse into the domestic extravagance of the Gilded Age. Now, let's briefly consider who built these magnificent homes. Less than a mile away is the Lavaca neighborhood, which housed the craftsmen, stonemasons, and carpenters of German, Mexican, and African descent, who were not as financially fortunate as their clients. Their homes were humble adobe and stone structures, a striking contrast to the Victorian mansions they built. This illuminates the clear economic and social hierarchy of the Gilded Age. This concludes our walking tour of historic San Antonio. I hope you've enjoyed your trip and you have an excellent rest of your time in San Antonio. Remember, if you enjoy this guide, share feedback on Facebook, Instagram, or email tabbycattravels@gmail.com.